Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you for being with us today. My first guest has many amazing accomplishments behind her and is planning even more, but she's best known for her Emmy Award-winning role as the man-crazed Southern belle Blanche Devereaux on the hit TV show The Golden Girls. Later in today's program, we'll be discussing a nationwide event that's taking place right now as we speak. Last year, more than 400 books were banned or challenged in the United States. How does this affect freedom of speech? Why should you care? And what can you do about it? Well, stay with us to learn more about this important movement. We'll be discussing Banned Books Week and celebrating the freedom to read with experts Angelina Benedetti and Catherine Lord from the King County Library System. But first, award-winning actress Rue McClanahan. She's appeared in more than 100 productions from Broadway to the small screen and the big. But she's best known for her seven-year role as Blanche Devereaux in TV's The Golden Girls. That first aired 23 years ago, and it's still in reruns today. Can you believe it? Last year, Rue published her memoir. It's called My First Five Husbands and The Ones Who Got Away. So is the actress like the character she played on The Golden Girls? Well, let's find out. We spoke together last week on living, loving, and learning, and I'm pleased to bring you our conversation right now, award-winning actress Rue McClanahan. Your book is called My First Five Husbands and the Ones Who Got Away. And I love the opening in your memoir. You say this book is about my life and experiences as I lived them. And anyone who doesn't like it can jolly well lump it. Was there anything that you were hesitant about writing? You were very candid in the book. Was there anything that you kind of thought, maybe I shouldn't write about that?
No, actually, there wasn't anything I thought I shouldn't write about. There was something that was very hard to write about, which I state in the book, that it's easy to write about the dastardly things done to you. You can even be funny about those. But when it comes to something dastardly that you yourself did to someone whom you think highly of, let's say, which was my case, it's very hard to write, very painful. And I had to take time out on the husband number two, and I really had to walk around the block, literally, several times before I could get back to it.
And that happened such a long time ago. You actually left him, right, husband number two, and but you were very, very good friends with him, and you left him for another man.
He was my best friend up until the day he died in 1994. Yes.
Yeah. Now, you were raised in a small town with a loving family, and I'm always interested in people's beginnings. Even though your family was loving, you say you were totally ill-equipped to cope with angry people such as your first husband or big city theater life, and yet right from the get-go, you set out to work in one of the toughest professions there is, I think. You arrived in New York, 1957, with 2 weeks' worth of money in your pocket. What gave you the belief in yourself at that tender age to go make this transition?
Oh, I'd always known that I just had to. I didn't feel that I had any choice. I really had to earn a place in the theater community. That's what I wanted to do.
Yeah, and you started out dancing. You were dancing before you went there.
Yeah, I'd been doing a lot of dance training, and I'd been teaching dance, so I continued with that, and I also added acting lessons to it. So I was doing acting and dancing, studying and studying and studying, yeah.
How long were you there before you feel you got your first big break? I know, you know, people will attribute big breaks to you, but what do you feel in yourself was, wow, I'm really starting to make it now?
Well, I was only here, and when I first came right after college, I was only here for January, February, March, April, May when I got a job at the Erie Playhouse. I got hired to go to the Erie Playhouse for a season of winter stock, and that would be a solid job, you know, non-union theater, but still a solid job. I wouldn't be knocking my head against the wall here where I didn't know anybody. And I auditioned for this place and got it, so I went off to do that. And then it was several years later, in 64, that I actually came back to New York. By then, I'd been married a couple of times. I'd been to the Pasadena Playhouse. I'd had a lot of adventures. And when I came back in 64, it was actually, I guess, Norman Lear's seeing me in a small off-Broadway play and saying to me, and that was in about 69, so I'd been here about 5 years then, saying, I want to hire you someday. I'm going out west to establish myself as a television producer. And he did. He did All in the Family.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me to come be on All in the Family. And while I was there, he asked if I'd stay and do Maude that he just started. And I did. And that was it. That was the break.
And you had just bought a house in New Jersey. You were set to stay in New Jersey, weren't you, when this all happened for you?
I just bought the house in December, and he called in February and said, we'd like to make this a running role. Do you want to come out? And I'd already done, two appearances on Maude the first year. But he said, now we want to make this a running role. Can you move to California? And I said, well, of course. I just bought my first house here. And I'd be delighted. How soon do you want me?
Right.
Yeah.
Now, was that where you first met Bea Arthur?
Yeah. No, I met her when I was out doing All in the Family and then stayed to do that first appearance on Maude the year before.
Okay. Now, you've done so many movies and plays, so much on Broadway, and I don't know if many of our listeners know this, but I did not know you were also a writer. I didn't know you'd written a screenplay, two musicals, 12 short stories. Multi-talented lady.
Well, not that I've had them published, you understand. These have not come. They have been written, yes.
Mm.
But I'm planning to get the musical. Well, they've actually been produced. One was done in Burbank for a long run back in 91. But, yes, I'm planning to get those done, but I can't get to them until I've done the one-woman show that's being put together for actually taken from the book and will be called My First Five Husbands.
Oh, my goodness.
And so that's been in the works now for some time. And
right.
It's the one that has everybody, my attention.
Well, you know, you write with, as I said, such candor, but you also some humility. You're not pretentious at all in this book, and a lot of humor. Your humor's got you through a lot of very tough situations, right?
Yes, and I never expected to be a funny actress. I just expected to be an actress.
Mm. I was saying how many credits you have, but we can't not mention the Golden Girls, of course. And I did see you in an interview where you said you can't watch the Golden Girls because it's so nostalgic for you.
Well, that might have been true when I said that in that interview. It's no longer true.
Okay.
I've moved beyond it now to the book and now to this new Broadway experience that we're planning. And, no, I find the Golden Girls delightful to watch. It's, I tell you, the hardest part is saying, oh, I didn't get that costume. Oh, I didn't get that costume. Because some of them are just so wonderful, and I only could take a pickup full.
Only a pickup full.
A pickup load. I had a pickup, and I still have so many of those costumes that, you know, I need to rent a new apartment to keep them in.
Mm.
Goodness, I had room in California, but not here.
I can believe it. Well, your book is called My First Five Husbands and the Ones Who Got Away. I want to talk about a day that I imagine must be one of the most bittersweet days of your life, and that was on the day that you were actually diagnosed with breast cancer. But it was also the day that your sixth husband first told you he loved you.
That's right.
What was that experience like for you?
The first part, being told that I had breast cancer, I almost fainted. I got very weak, and I was reeling off the table, and the doctor caught me. And then a few minutes later, I was out in the lobby, and Mauro told me he loved me. And, of course, that was what I'd been wanting to hear for, I'd only known him 2.5 weeks. Oh. I wanted to hear for 2.5 weeks.
Right, right. But then he proposed just a few days later after that, right?
He claims that he proposed. Ah. I claim that I proposed.
And you guys have been together ever since. So you say you describe him as your soulmate. You actually said at one point, if I can just find that, you said that there were many times when you truly wondered, you asked yourself, Lord, will I ever get it right? Do you feel you've got it right now?
Yes. Yes, I feel that he and I together have got it right. And we plan for this to be both of our last marriages. This is it.
Yeah. Now, you talked about your play that you want to get going. When do you anticipate your one-man play will be coming out?
Well, right now, we're thinking about going into rehearsal April 1st. It's being written. A lot of the music is being put together. A lot of the script is being done. And it's an extremely ambitious piece of theater that the producer has, a marvelous man named Michael LaRue, has envisioned. He's concocted this in his head, and it's quite unique in that it starts at the end of the book and goes backwards to the first, well, it actually goes back to my childhood.
Mm.
So, and it's multimedia. It has a great many, in fact, it has as many effects as you can imagine, and I'm saying really 21st century stuff that hasn't been done on a Broadway stage before. Some of this has been done in Sundays in the Park with George, but not to the extent that Michael has planned to do it in our show.
Well, we'll look forward to that. Well, you've had so many accomplishments, Rue. What are you most proud of?
My son.
Your son.
My son, Mark. He's doing some of the music for the show. He's an extremely gifted artist in jazz music. He plays jazz guitar, and he teaches guitar in Austin, Texas. And he has written all the themes for the five husbands. Each one has a theme.
A separate theme. Mm-hmm.
And he's also written the beautiful music for a song called Mark's Song, or Little One, that actually ends the first act. We've gone back to his childhood by that point, and it's a gorgeous song. Cameron and Lively have written the lyrics to it. Julia Cameron Lively. Anyway, Emma Lively.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Uh-huh. Is that Julia Cameron from The Artist's Way?
Yes, it is.
Oh, excellent. Yeah.
Yes, it is. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They are a musical team. They write music and lyrics for their own musicals. And they put together about 10, 12 songs for this. And then Mark has put together the five theme songs. And he's written this gorgeous guitar, very plaintive melody for Mark's song.
Well, I will look forward to seeing that when it comes out. I want to ask, because you've played so many different characters, if people have known you from your work and then they got to know you on a personal level, what do you think would most surprise them about you?
That I'm nothing like Blanche Devereaux. That's what surprises everybody.
Well, yeah.
I'm really not Blanche Devereaux. I've played so many parts, but that's my most famous role. Because of the success of that show just going on and on forever.
Yeah.
And so kids who weren't even born when we started it in 1985 are now watching it, and they think it's new because, you know, it's sort of timeless the way they wrote it. It just really holds up so well. And that was a very memorable role, and I'm so glad to have done it. But that isn't me. That's a part I played.
Right. Well, I think the fact that people do think you're like that is a testament to how well you played the part.
Well, thank you. And I hope that the book has disabused a lot of people of that impression.
Yes.
Because I'm really pretty grassroots and down to earth and quite a different person from Miss Devereaux.
Right. We're almost at the end of our segment, unfortunately. What do you know now that you wish you had known 20 years ago?
I wish I'd known about standing back and saying, let me think that over before I say yes to something, to anything, particularly marriage. And I wish I'd known about, well, if I'd known that, I think I wouldn't have gotten into so much hot water. But I wish I'd known that patience is a virtue to be embraced, and forbearance, and you really have to hang in there if you're going to make a relationship work. But first of all, it has to be a relationship that can work.
Mm.
And had I stood back and said, wait a minute, don't stampede me into this thing, because I was needy. I wish I'd known that being needy is no reason, is no place to start a relationship from.
Right.
You have to be your own person, strong and sure of yourself, and as canny as you can be. And don't let people make you think that you have to have this person in your life or you'll die. And speaking of whom, here comes my husband through the door. Hello, darling.
Well, tell him hello from us.
Hello, says, what's your name, sweetheart?
It's Vicky.
Yes, hello, says Vicky.
Well, I certainly have enjoyed talking with you today, and I know my mother, for one, is going to really enjoy this segment because she's a huge fan of the body of your work over the years, and I certainly appreciate you taking the time to be with us today.
Oh, I like the way you put that. She's not just a Golden Girls fan.
No, you're actually about the same age, so she kind of grew up with you. So.
Oh. Well, tell her hello from me. Hello there from me.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
You would see the biggest gift would be for me, and the card attached would say thank you for being a friend. And if you threw a party, invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be for me, and the
card. Interview was pre-recorded last week with Rue McClanahan. Her memoir tells the journey of a small-town girl following her dream, and it's about the men who came into and out of her life along the way. Interesting, I don't know if you picked up on that, but interesting that with all of her many accomplishments and accolades, Rue's most proud moment was her son. I thought that was really special. Her book is called It's called My First Five Husbands and the Ones Who Got Away, and it's available in bookstores today. So stay with us. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back to celebrate the freedom to read, an important event taking place across America as we speak right now, Banned Books Week. We have two very special guests with us right here in the studio. We'll be celebrating the freedom to read when we come back. Hey, this is Vicky St. Clair with Conversations Live. Have you checked out Book Talk lately? Every week, Conversations Live produces a 2 to 4 minute book review via podcast. You can listen to our book reviews anytime at KKNW. Just log on to 1150kknw.com or download them onto any MP3 player at your convenience. We review an eclectic range of books, from humorous vignettes to essays on life and living, to debut novels and novels that have been around for a while that you might not have heard about. Conversations Live regular reviewer Cynthia Baxter is a voracious reader, and we're excited to bring you a new Book Talk podcast every week. Check out Book Talk at 1150kknw.com. That's Book Talk at 1150kknw.com.
Do something different with your spare time. Give baby animals at Paws a fresh start. With the assistance of caring volunteers, Paws helps hundreds of orphaned and sick kittens and puppies each year. Join us and save lives. Become a Paws foster care volunteer. For more information, visit paws.org or 425-787-2500. Paws.org or 425-787-2500.
Coming up October 13th on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, a full hour with medical intuitive Dr. Carol Reitberger. She's an innovative leader in the fields of personality typology and intuitive medicine, and the executive director of the Reitberger Institute, where she helps students access and develop their intuition for business, personal, and spiritual growth. Mark your calendars for Monday, October 13th at noon for Health and Healing Through the Eyes of a Medical Intuitive. That's right here on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Commune with the Pop Oracle on the Radio 8 Ball Show. I'm Andras Jones, the host of the Radio 8 Ball Show, where we answer your questions by picking songs at random and interpreting them as the answers, like picking musical tarot cards. That's the Radio 8 Ball Show on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Don't miss the Radio 8 Ball Show, Fridays at noon, right here on Alternative Talk, 1150.
On the AM band at 1150 and on the FM HD band at 98.9 HD3. Alternative Talk, 1150.